an average below par radio show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie. I just called.
Happening across the socials as well. Hit us up across Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Tom and Ollie. Let's jump in the pondering pond next for deep thought of the week, and let's chuck on some Nickel Day. Woohoo!
It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Yeah, all right. I said Nickel and said Nickel Day once. All right.
Good stuff, Tom. You're not known for your clear speaking, but you are known for your clear thinking, and that hopefully continues tonight. What's on the show, Big Tommy?
Mate, I'm so excited. Charlie Pickering's going to come in and join us.
Yes.
He had a brand new show on last night on ABC.
Very, very talented man. And the show is quite, it explores the idea of hypotheticals. We are going to pose that hypothetical to you. It involves your nudes and your texts being leaked. So that'll be interesting.
Also, we've got Dr. Phil on the show, Ollie. Did you know this? Dr. Phil is on this show tonight.
Dr. Phil Mosley. It's not the Dr. Phil we all know and love, Tom.
No.
But we are going to be diving into... kind of serious. Postnatal depression in men, is it really a thing? Yeah. And if it is a thing, how does that manifest in men? Because obviously it's more of a female thing.
True. But Ollie, we're trying to have an end of year party, right? God, I can't wait for it. It's happening at the end of the year in a couple of weeks' time. Mm. And we want to get you there. All this time we've been saying, hey, you have to offer something up. You have to give something. Yep. Well, that's not necessarily true. Up next. Ollie, all this month we've been saying, hey, let's have an end of year party.
Yeah. Tom and Ollie's end of year crypto party. Buy and sell cryptocurrencies on Australia's most trusted trading platform, coinspot.com.au. Triple M.
And we've been giving out invites left, right, and centre this week. We want to get you there, by the way. And all you have to do is head to triplem.com.au, click on that win page, and tell us what you'll bring to the party.
Now, so far, Tom had, I think, four invites that I can recall off the top of my head. Lockie, who's playing Wonderwall. Jody, who is bringing sex toys. Ashley, who writes erotic fiction, has promised to write us into her own original erotic fiction novel. And a sexy Stuart the Santa.
Now, it sounds like it's...
And Mrs. Claus.
It sounds like it's a sexy party so far, which is not what we set out to do, is it?
But, you know, knowing this show, bound to happen. But we'll level it out.
Yeah.
It'll even out.
Ollie, everybody invited so far has come based on a bit of merit, haven't they? They've got, like, something to bring, they've got an activity, you know, or they've got a talent. I'm about to offer something up that has got nothing to do with talent whatsoever.
So the meritocracy is out the window, Tom.
Let me just pivot for 1 second. Today is the start of Movember.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm actually a Movember official ambassador.
Are you?
I'm an official...
As in you're shaving your mo?
No,
give yourself a title. I'm the official ambassador.
You head to...
I'm an OA. I'm getting an OA.
Mate, you head to mobro.co/TomandOllie. There's a little badge there that says official ambassador.
Really?
Actually.
Well, right now you've got a full mo, mate, so I don't know how that works. That should be gone by now.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, right?
Here's what I'm thinking.
Ollie, I wouldn't think you'd bring that toy into the...
This is not Jody's toy. This is a shaver. I'm ready to go.
Ollie, for people who don't have any special skill, who don't have something they can bring to the party...
Average Joes and Janes.
What I'm offering here...
Noobs.
...is a way to buy yourself into the party. Oh. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to head to mobro.co/TomandOllie, right? You donate money there to the Movember Foundation, and the person who donates the most amount of money...
Whoa!
...will win a ticket to our party.
Oh, Tom. That is so exciting, if not for the fact that you had said a URL. No one goes to URLs, mate. No one's going to mobro.co/725. Make it easier.
Well, you can go to our Facebook page. There's a link on there.
Great.
Or you go to our Instagram, link in bio.
Tom and Ollie. So if you are someone who's a bit of a Clive Palmer, you haven't got many skills, but you've got a lot of money, here's your chance to get to the party. How much is there a reserve bid?
Well, there is a reserve bid.
The block style?
All of a sudden, Eli... has donated $30. Now, Eli is actually from our workplace. He used to be our old producer. To be honest, I don't want him at the party. So you need to outbid Eli. 133353. Get on the phone now and pledge your donation to Movember to get to our end of year party. We're hoping to have a whole bunch of good food, couple of drinks, because we obviously say drink responsibly. It'll be fun though, don't worry.
We've
about
also
that.
Got the girl hanging from the Ellie hanging from the roof.
Via a rope. This is gonna be a massive end of year party. 133353.
It sounds morbid, it's not.
Jump on that phone now and pledge your donation to Movember to get to the end of year party. Our names are Tom and Ollie. We have questions. And we're holding a bloody awesome end of year party.
Tom and Ollie's end of year crypto party. Buy and sell cryptocurrencies on Australia's most trusted trading platform, coinspot.com.au. Triple M.
Oh, and we're asking you to offer stuff off to come to this party.
Well, normally it's a come if you are a skilled person, you have something in the know, you've got a talent, maybe you can bring. We've had offers of everything from pole dancing to cake. So, you know, the spectrum is broad.
Don't forget the cob loaves, Sully.
The cob loaves have been
rife.
A lot
of cob loaves.
A lot of dad jokes, a lot of I've got funny jokes, which we don't mind. Mm. But tonight you're offering a very different type of ticket. It's a purely a mercenary, cashed up ticket.
I need you to go to our Facebook or Instagram at Tom and Ollie and click on the Movember link and donate cash. The person who donates the most amount of money to Movember, yeah. I am an official ambassador. We'll get involved. We'll gum to the party.
But to be clear, just call right now. 133353. That's how you pledge in real time to us. And when I get that first pledge, Tom, I'm saying this bad boy comes out.
Oh, no. I'm not ready for that.
This American-designed high-end Weil shaver.
Oh, that's a shaver.
It's a shaver. you thought it was something from the weekend.
Yeah.
No, this is a shaver, Tom. And I'm going to go to town on your face.
I haven't shaved off the mustache, and I must do it today.
It's the first, isn't it?
So someone like Todd, who messaged us on Facebook, he said, I'll bring a good attitude and a smile on my face to your party as I have no talents. Todd, you should be calling 133353 right now, buddy, and pledging some cash.
Mm, you should.
I'm so surprised no one's called.
People hate charities, mate.
Yeah. Do people hate charities?
I don't think so. Be in a good sort of sad story to tell. You are a sad story, but you're not a sad enough story. We need a photo of you like in the gutter, getting kicked by someone, and you're sort of crying, going,
I think I've realised people hate charities. Like if you're walking towards someone in the street that's part of a charity, you try and avoid them. So people aren't calling now 133353 because they hate charities.
Well, we can't pad forever, Tom, so maybe the shaving of the mo won't happen tonight, and instead you just bend over and we'll do something different instead. What do you think?
Charlie Pickering isn't far away. He's going to drop by. We're asking 133353, how much are you going to pledge to Movember to get an invite to our end-of-year party?
Good time, come on. Now, Tom, we are having a party, and as you say, you get there normally by having a skill. You've offered an alternative route, offered to take money for your charity campaign for Movember, and the highest bid will get you to our party.
That's right.
Can I be clear? It sounds like you're being desperate, and our party is desperate for invites. That's not the case.
No.
What is the case is you're desperate for cash for your charity. So can I just clear my name and the party's name? The party is healthy. We've got amazing offers coming through and keep them coming through at triplem.com.au and also on the Facebook page as well. There's some good ones there.
Absolutely.
But right now you've got the reserve bid from your Movember, what do you call them, contributions at $30.
$30, exactly right. John's given us a call on 133353. Hey, John.
Hey, boys, how are we?
Good.
Bubbles.
Oh, Crazy John.
We get rid of the Mo.
Oh,
Crazy John, I'm so glad you've called. Are you going to pledge some money to get rid of Tom's Mo?
Yeah, I'm just going through my console. I've got like 3180.
Oh, my God.
I would love it if it were Crazy John, who calls regularly and insults Tom with things like Bubble O Bill references.
I never insult him.
You don't insult him, but you have a friendly jibe, don't you?
He's just a pussy.
Okay.
All right. So, Tom, you taking that bid, or
John? As soon as you go to the Movember page, mate, and actually donate the money, then you can be involved. Hey, Brad.
Hi, how are you going, boys?
Good, buddy. So, John, there, Crazy John, my arch nemesis. Hey, he has pledged $31.50. What are you going to go for?
Mate, I'll nearly double it. I'll go $50.
Oh, he's nearly doubled it.
That's great.
Very good.
That's good. That's what we want.
Brady, I don't want to hear that shaving use for anything else but shaving a moustache, so I thought I'd better do some money there.
Well, look, to be honest, Brad, it is my motif, so I am a bit worried that I'm getting rid of it, but I am very happy to be a Movember ambassador.
Well, let's slow down. Brad, you could be usurped here. We've got Nick. Nick, what's your offer? The current bid is at 50.
It was only going to be 50, but boys, I tell you what, such a good cause, I'll raise it to 60.
Oh, 60 bucks. Yes. That's right.
Nick, hey, you've heard about the party. What have you heard that has enticed you to go, I want to come for that? Like, what have you liked?
Just you two boys.
Okay. And a bit of this?
That's worth it.
That's a shaver.
That's a shaver. It's a shaver. It's not Jodie's.
I'm hoping that's a shaver.
Jodie is coming with sex toys, but she's coming with sex toys, as in she's bringing them. But we have got a shaver here in the studio.
You need to head over to mobro.co/TomAndOllie to donate, or just head to our Instagram or Facebook. The link's in the bio there. Simone, sorry. Hey, Simone.
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. You've just heard Nick there pledge $60.
What? Yes, well, my business kitchen language would like to donate $75 because we think that's a great cause. And Tom and Ollie, I met you at the Kennedy Malloy Long Lunch.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, I recall that, Simone. You're lovely. Kitchen language is your business, and well done getting a plug in there.
And Simone, you're doing this for a tax write-off, aren't you?
Totally. Yeah. and a free flight with you guys.
You get a night of crazy times.
Well, Simone, I'm not saying that you're locked in just yet. Unfortunately, you need to head over to that page, and I'm going to have this open for about a week or so. All right?
Okay.
So the person who donates the most amount of money on the Movember page, accumulatively, so if you want to keep donating to top your tally up, I'll take that.
You cheapo. So you're not even going to call it here?
I'm not calling it here. No. I'm not calling it here. You have to head over to the Movember page.
All right.
And next Thursday, I will announce the winner of the invite to the party.
Well, Simone, I want you, just to be clear.
So if Brad, who said 50 bucks... He needs to donate that 50 bucks to be in the running because Simone might not go with a 75.
She might
back out.
You
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to go to the page
and donate the money. Yeah, we get it.
All right.
Either way, though, get that stupid mo over here. I'm shaving it off right now.
All right. Are we going to put this on Facebook Live or something, Ollie?
No. Our producer Tom said... Hell no, that's boring. But it will go on Instagram, Tom, at Tom and Ollie. There'll be up a video of Tom's mo being shaved off.
Two best mates.
I'm sick of you.
Oh, yeah?
And 3 hours of questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. What's happened here?
Where's Tom, my moustache gone,
We've
Ollie?
Just, after speaking about our party and Movember starting today, we've done the deed on your motif, as you call it. And for a while there, you were the most racist man in history.
No.
you thought it was funny to have an Adolf moustache, and that's...
It's just not on, mate. You were shaving me and you stopped.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. The battery ran out.
Anyway, I'm asking on 133353 for people to pledge donations to the Movember Foundation. If you pledge the most amount of money over the course of the next week, you will receive an invite to our end-of-year party. I won't stop there, Ollie.
Mm.
The person who gives us the second most amount of money, I'll give them free tickets to the Movember Speakeasy event of their city, because I am also going to be speaking at one of those Movember speakeasy events.
Got on your Adolf. All right. Well, Maddie has phoned through at the last minute on 133353. And Maddie, we had some great offers there of 50, 60, 70 bucks, but you've got something bigger.
Yeah, I think I can go 150.
150 bucks?
Yeah. Maddie, why would you do that, Maddie?
November's such a good cause, hey.
It's so good. Stop men dying too young. I mean, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental health are all...
Yeah, yeah. But Maddie, do you just love a man in a mustache? Is that what this is?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he is gay, and he also thinks it's funny to have an Adolf Hitler mustache.
No,
but Maddie, thank you for the donation, and I think Tom will appreciate that. Tom, the ABC is back at it again, creating amazing TV content, and this man is no stranger to TV and ABC. It's Charlie Pickering.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, good, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
The show's called Tomorrow Tonight.
Yes.
What a great name.
And it was on last night.
It was on last night.
It was yesterday, tomorrow, tonight.
Tom and I saw it last night. tomorrow tonight. It was excellent.
Thank you very much.
Captured our attention. It's educational, but it taps into hot button issues.
How would you explain the show?
Oh, look. So basically, the way I understand it, it's me. It's Annabelle Crabb, who is hands down the most popular person at the ABC. I know that because she gets a bigger round of applause than I do whenever her name is said out loud. Yeah. But it's Annabelle and three other panelists. They're all prominent Australians, either comedians or politicians. Mm-hmm. So they're on the panel. And my team and I have made a fictional news story, completely made up news story, but it's entirely possible and could happen in the near future.
Yep.
Okay. And for that, we've hired like actors to play newsreaders and people on the street. It looks like a real news story. It's a real situation.
There's so much production.
But it's all made up. There's a lot of production in it. And so basically, we drop that panel into a breaking news story.
Yep.
It's almost like a fake story happens on the project. And yeah, everyone's there having an opinion on it.
And you've got Steve Price yelling about something.
Yeah,
and
like we tried not to book him. But anyway, that's fine.
Well, this was
Steve and I have spent some time. We've spent some time together.
Yes. Well, this was last night's question.
A hacker has stolen the world's text messages dating back to 2001 and demands $5,000 to keep them secret. Annabelle, $5,000 is a lot of money. Do you have a P-tape you want to keep secret?
And the P-tape is returned to, isn't it?
Yeah, the P-tape features. That's a running theme. There's some. I think I can say dick pics that run throughout the episode. And it's an amazing question. Would you pay $5,000 to keep your text secret? Because this guy has everyone's texts in the world, and he's going to put them on a searchable database. All you have to do is put in someone's name or their phone number, and you can read every text message they've ever sent.
He must have great Wi-Fi, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
I have 5G. I feel he's operating at a 5G level.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the case. He's not on Vodafone.
No.
Are they a sponsor? I apologise.
Probably.
If they are.
Probably. They probably spend money. I mean,
no,
it's
they're getting better.
Radio.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Not on this show. No one's spending money on this show.
No one's spending money on this show. Did you go through a bit of a conundrum coming up with this yourself? Like, did you go through that process of going, what would happen if this got out?
Well, we map every story out, and it takes a long time to get every story right and map it out. And we also speak to experts. So we spoke to a cybersecurity expert
to know
that this was possible. And the cybersecurity expert, he was like, this could absolutely happen. They've no doubt probably got this database.
Wow.
Everywhere. There's probably a database that exists like this anyway.
Yeah.
And it will come out at some point.
And I love how all the panelists all agreed in that first sort of section of the show that saying, well, no, I wouldn't pay the money. I don't care. Take my texts, whatever, nothing to hide. But then, you know, attitudes shift as new information emerges.
The story keeps breaking. The story develops. Other things happen. I'll tell you what, because I've been doing this show a little bit now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the moment you bring people's kids into it, that's when they fold.
Yes,
they
fold.
And, and that makes me sound like a monster. It's like, wouldn't it be horrible if something happened to your kids? Right? Yeah, there's a couple of lovely kids you got there.
any lull on the show? You're just like, what about your kids,
What
though?
About your kids?
Do you love them?
But it's amazing. So our cybersecurity expert, who's the one who is most prepared for this situation, the moment his kids are in the picture, he started to go, oh, I don't know.
He was thrown.
Yeah.
I reckon I'd be screwed if this happened, though.
Well, you've said, Tom, in the past that you've openly got dick pics
100%.
Out there, and so you'd own it.
I'm a gay man. That happens. I grew up in the age where we didn't really know about all this happening.
Yeah, but is it less of it? Like, excuse my ignorance or any prejudice I bring to the table, but I assume the stakes are lower for the gay community. I don't imagine your standing in the community drops because a dick pic gets
Well, there's
out
twice the amount of dicks, isn't there, going about?
There is just this sheer weight of dicks. Sheer weight of dicks makes that less of a precarious situation.
My dick pics are out. Mate, no one cares. We don't care. We've seen them.
How about you, boys? Charlie, would you be screwed if something like this came out?
I would pay the $5,000 in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And it's funny. Like, there's a point that they're umming and ahhing, going, no, I wouldn't pay because he's a criminal. I was like, I don't care if he's a monster.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay because I don't remember what I texted last week, let alone in 2001. I would have texted jokes in 2002 that if you read them now would be career-ending.
Totally.
You know, the world, like, there's absolutely no way I would like my text.
Well, Ollie, your girlfriend received one of these pranks, like one of the emails.
An email threat saying we've got webcam footage of you having a good time in front of the laptop, which was not true. But, she was worried. She
and you didn't do anything, did
she
you?
She considered paying the money. She didn't in the end. She's like, I'll ignore it. And it went away. But
do you know, I met a guy. Like, he was a friend of a friend, which makes it sound not real, but it is.
Totally.
Was it you?
And he got that email, and he was like, do you know what? Screw it. And he sent an email to all of his friends and said, just so you know, this is happening. There's an extortion. And do you know what? The hacker sent the video to all of his friends, and he told them. So they all saw him Having a go?
Having a go in front of the laptop.
At the end of the day, though, it's like, whatever.
For me, texts aren't that bad, but that vision is horrid.
It's the vision. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, saying, I would happily sit at a table with my parents and go, do you know what? I have wanked and will wank again, right? I'm happy to say that.
Totally.
I'm not happy for them to see me doing it.
No.
It's just, I don't care. I literally do not care who you are.
Yeah.
I would say as men, I think it's a grey area with women. They're more elegant. But with men, I would say there's not a person on the planet who looks good in that situation.
No. We've discussed this, Tom and I.
It looks nothing but pitiful.
It's never good.
Yeah. Even as a gay man, I'm like, nah, I don't know this.
Yeah, it's not. That's not my thing.
Nah, that's not my thing.
Sad. It is sad.
Anyway,
It's like watching someone eat a sandwich.
Yes.
It's like watching someone eat a sandwich. You go, yeah, I could eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
I could eat a sandwich myself right now. I don't need to. Do you know what? I'd much rather I watched a sandwich than watch someone else eat a sandwich.
I'd say it's worse, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'd say it's worse. But we could chat all day about this. I think we've illustrated the point that there is horrid stuff out there of everyone's.
You need to see this conversation take place. Tomorrow, tonight, that premiered last night. It's also back on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. on ABC and iView. Catch up last night's episode on iView. But we want to know, 133353, what would you do in this situation? Would you spend $5,000 to protect your text messages? Charlie Pickering.
Hey, absolute pleasure, guys.
Thank you so much for creating a show which we could probably talk about every single week from now on.
Great content. Please do.
Yes.
Please do.
Yes.
Would you hang around, Charlie, through a flirty 9:30 reading for us?
Well, having read my texts, of course I would.
Great. We'll see
you soon. Around. Charlie Pickering will be back at 9:30, but 133353, would you spend $5,000 to protect your text messages? Head over to Instagram, right, and just search Tom and Ollie because there's a full video of me getting my mo shaved off. I've had a mustache for 2 years now. It's been shaved off because I'm official ambassador of Movember. Please donate. You can get our link in that Instagram bio to donate, and the person who donates the most amount will come to an end-of-year party hosted by us.
And in that video, you'll see Tom being a racist, which is a sad side story to that Instagram video.
You made me do that, Ollie. 133353. We're asking, would you pay $5,000 to keep your texts private? Now, Charlie Pickering, amazing guy. He had to leave, but Tomorrow Tonight, which was on last night, you can catch it on iView, had this very question on it.
It's a hypothetical, Tom. It really is that basic question of, would you pay $5,000 to keep your credibility, your respect, your embarrassing photos contained?
Darren on 133353. Mate, you're an IT guy, and what would you do in this situation?
Hi. Look, I am. And because I am, people ring me up when stuff like this happens to them.
So it happens in real life, Darren?
Oh, it does, yes. Oh, yep, for sure. But it's really funny because people will sometimes have this happen and they ring me and they go, I've got this email and it's saying this, or I've got this text and it's saying this, and I've gone, well, have you been sitting in front of the PC doing that? Or in front of... well, no.
Darren, how dare you embarrass your friends with that blunt question?
Yeah, how dare you ask? But no, you guys had the right approach. If you don't reply, they generally don't even realise whether or not they've got a valid...
Because I'm guessing, Darren, they just send it to a lot of people, don't they?
Oh, it's just spammed out to everyone, that's right. And but if they genuinely did actually get anything on you, all you can really do is, in my opinion, is tell them to get stuffed. Because once you pay them anything, they think you're a soft touch, and then they'll just keep doing it more.
I'll take you for a ride.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've heard a story, Darren, where a guy did it. It was followed through with, and his contacts were sent a video of him masturbating. That was a true story. I mean, nothing much worse in life than that. Would you agree, Darren?
Yes, but I'm pretty sure that if he'd paid them, they would have sent it anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's one of those situations.
If you do,
and then they've got to fess up to the fact they've paid them as well. You know, oh, no, forget it.
Have your say, 133353. Would you pay $5,000 to keep your texts private? Thanks for the call, Darren.
Tom, is the answer you just don't masturbate, do you think? Because you just don't do it. Or at least not in front of a webcam.
Definitely.
Too late.
I mean, remember that time I didn't do it for a month on radio and I got quite angry?
You got stroppy.
Yeah.
Tom, you and I are both swimmers. Me more recently. You claim that you love swimming and...
I got you into swimming.
Yeah, look, kind of you did, to be honest. It's a good activity. It's good for fitness.
Thank you. But I've never said that before, and I'm very chuffed.
That you got me into swimming?
Yes.
That's your claim to fame.
Yes.
I got Ollie swimming.
I got all of our friendship group into the gym. That's all I'm saying.
That's funny. Nah. No, I'm not going to bite on that stupid comment. But what I want to put to you is a behaviour I've been seeing in the pool that I just don't know why it's done. And there's a lot of things in the pool where I go, really? You're doing that?
Are you talking about the pool or the change rooms?
No, right in the pool.
Okay,
in the pool.
Okay, cool.
Because for a bit of backstory, like, I've got no time for those who have flippers in the pool or they have the webbed gloves, yes, to make themselves go faster. It's like, what's the point? You're just cheating.
How about a pool boy, though? Are you good with a pool boy?
Pool boy, I understand.
Which is the one that you put between your legs so that you don't kick. You're just using your hands.
Yeah, I guess there's a reason for it. But here's one thing I don't get. People who they'll finish a lap or they're just starting,
yeah,
and rather than just go straight into the water, they will jog / walk the first 10 metres of a lap. Like, what are you doing? You're just running. You're running in the water,
yes,
because you yes want to halve your lap time. Is it lazy? Is there a reason for it?
I don't get it. I saw a guy full-on jump in, hit the ground with both feet the other day.
And go for a jog.
And, like, went for a big wade in the water, like a big man in the water, and then went, and now the deep end, I'll start swimming. It's like, come on, mate.
I'm 20 metres in.
Yeah, the idea of a 50-metre pool is to swim the 50 metres, not walk 20.
Now, there's one reason why I think maybe there's a reason for it, and that is that you're adjusting your goggles and you want to maybe keep your movement going.
No.
But no, just wait at the end of the pool and swim the full length.
I have no time for it. And look, to be honest, I'll ask for you on the phones, 1-333-53. If you're a pool wader,
yes,
I want to hear why the hell are you wading in the pool?
And if you're
like,
just,
it's fine if you're actually doing it. Like, if you're walking up and backwards to,
for rehab
or something.
Of course,
that's great.
But if you're pool waiting because you're a cheapskate or you're cheating yourself, or I don't know, be honest and tell us why you're doing it. Because to me, it's a waste of time, and you're only cheating yourself.
1-333-53.
1-2-3-4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, how about those people who wade in the pool, Ollie? Can you absolutely believe it?
Sickos, Tom. Oh. They're just sad individuals who can't finish a lap without doing some wading.
Hang on, sorry. It's the people who wade and then try and do laps that we're talking about, not the people who just actually wade in the pool for rehab and things.
Nothing wrong with rehab, that's Tom. Fine. Just don't like people who are trying out swimming in the pool by jogging past me as I do laps.
Did we get someone on Twitter, or are we not reading that out?
I think they tweeted us and then deleted it. They were too ashamed of themselves, which is fine. It makes sense. Tom, we are going to get to a couple of Thursday classics, and by that I mean How Triple M Are You, our music challenge game, your verse, a listener.
Also, Chopper's going to drop by, I've heard.
Yes.
Heath Franklin's Chopper, which is super exciting.
Funny stuff. Tom, not too long ago, we had a rather in-depth and insightful discussion around depression in men and the various reasons that were causing it. And one theme emerged that we didn't realise was actually occurring out there, but postnatal depression, of course, being a thing with women, but a lot of men were recording, or at least identifying with, the feeling of, after having a child, feelings of depression, anxiety and the like. And so to get to the bottom of that, and to, I guess, my first question for Dr. Philip Mosley, who is very involved at Royal Brisbane's clinical unit in the Faculty of Medicine. Your title's too long here, Phil, so I'm just going to say that you're an expert physician?
I'm a psychiatrist. I'm a medical doctor that specialises in mental health.
Okay, brilliant.
We'll get all the Dr. Phil jokes out of the way early as well.
Dr. Phil, postnatal depression in men, is it a thing? Is it factual, or is it just misdiagnosed?
It is definitely a thing. It exists.
And is it different to women?
Well, if we're being pedantic about it, and I love being a pedant, personally, I don't generally use the term postnatal depression for depression affecting men after they have a baby, although you possibly could, because I think that perhaps that could dissuade some men from seeking help. They might say, oh, postnatal depression, that's only a thing that women can get, where actually we know that having a child is a pretty big event in many men's lives, and it can be a risk factor developing depression, like any other risk factor, any other major event in someone's life.
So it's an eventual kind of depression. Is that the best way to put it? It's because of an event, a big event.
Eventual, I don't think that works, does it?
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe not.
It happens eventually.
You're sort of stimulating my inner pedant again.
Yeah. Linguistically, I'm the same, Phil. Tom doesn't know too many good words. But Phil, so is it different for women? It's or more chemical, whereas men, it's situational?
Well, look, that's a great question. And in psychiatry, you're welcome. these days, we probably prefer to step away from that distinction between what we used to call endogenous and reactive depression, because we know that in most people, there's a complex mixture of genetic, developmental vulnerabilities to getting depressed and life events that can happen to tip someone over into depression. But traditionally in women, postnatal depression has been seen as quite a biological phenomenon influenced by hormones. And in men, we might say that obviously those hormones are not so much of a factor, but still biological factors can still be an issue. For example, if you've had a kid, you're not going to be sleeping much, so your circadian rhythm is going to be disrupted. And that's a major biological factor that could tip someone who's vulnerable over into depression.
Right. Mm. So is it the kind of thing where men and families in general should just be aware that mood may change as a child is born?
Definitely. And I think the stats on this are pretty significant. 1 in 10 men will have clinically significant depressive symptoms when they're surveyed after the birth of their child. So it's actually pretty common.
Dr. Philip Mosley is with us, not chief psychiatrist. He's at the Queensland Brain Institute.
You've promoted me.
Are you a chief psychiatrist in any shape or form, Dr. Phil?
Not yet, but okay. if you want to make me one.
You're
but
our chief psychiatrist.
Love it.
Yes,
love
in the studio and at home, I'm sure you're a chief of some kind.
133353. We'd love to open it up to you now. Did your mood change when you had a kid? We'd love to hear your stories, or maybe you've just got some questions for Dr. Phil, our chief psychiatrist. 133353.
We're chatting to clinical psychiatrist, research fellow, and just all-round lovely fellow, Philip Mosley, Dr. Philip Mosley, about postnatal depression in men and how that plays out. Thanks for chatting to us, Phil.
No worries.
Now, the phone's always open on 133353, by the way. If you have a question or you want to share your experience with Phil, and we can dissect the ins and outs of how having a child plays out for families in general, but men in particular. And there is some great stats here from Beyond Blue that talks about why 1 in 10 fathers would experience mood change after birth. And there's things like if you were depressed before, of course, that can add feeling the burden of financial stress after a birth, difficult births, sick children, of course, would add to that, drugs and alcohol use. So all these factors would play a part. And it's no surprise then, Phil, that having a child isn't just a big bag of laughs.
It can be tough at times, yeah.
Do you think a lot of parents go into it and are not prepared and end up being a bit shocked by what they find?
That's difficult to say. I mean, I think it's one of those things. It's difficult to prepare yourself for something you haven't experienced before. Mm. And a lot of this stuff, especially when you've got, you know, a sick kid and you're struggling a bit, it's difficult to know in advance how to prepare for all that.
I've always worried about the thought that people say when your partner, for me, my girlfriend, when we have a kid, she will love the kid more than me. And it's a bit of a joke, but it's also real in the sense that love is then shared, isn't it? And you become less of the star of the show.
Indeed you do. You certainly might drop down the pecking order at certain points.
Well, yeah. Surely it would be hard for a father because, I mean, it's the woman that's carried the baby for 9 months, isn't it? They've had that physical connection, so it might be difficult to find that connection straight away when the child is born. Is that one of the things that we find, Dr. Phil?
That certainly can be, and that can be one of the causes and consequences of depression. We can see that blokes who are depressed find it more difficult to form an attachment, what we call an attachment to their to their child. They might find it difficult to read, sing, and play with their child, and this can have pretty significant effects on the long-term emotional well-being of that kid.
We had Nick Cody, very funny comedian on the show, and recent father, and he was saying, like many fathers, oh, guys, best thing in your life, the greatest thing you'll ever do, what a feeling. And so if that's common, then if you imagine if you didn't feel quite like that, that would also be like a huge blow, wouldn't it?
Indeed. And I think a lot of people can feel quite guilty in that scenario as well, because they think, you know, I should be really grateful for this phenomenon, this, you know, this amazing gift that I've been given, but I just feel tired and I feel crabby and I'm drinking too much and I'm not sleeping.
Well, on that, Ollie, I feel like that's like, you know, what people feel every day when if they're feeling a bit down or a bit out. They look at people on social media and they go, well, I should be feeling happy all the time like these people.
Yep.
I know that for me, I had to go, oh, it's okay to have a bad day every now and then.
Yeah.
It's okay not to feel happy every single day. Because if you were feeling happy every single day, you'd be a psycho.
That's true. Oh, do you have a child, Tom? I don't know you had a child.
No.
Oh, you don't have
just
a child.
Can I just interject there? We prefer not to use the term psycho.
True.
In psychiatry these days.
All right. Yeah, well, you are Dr. Phil, so I mean... We do have the Dr. Phil theme music for you, Dr. Phil.
Thank you.
Here he is. Come on down.
133353. Hey, we do want to hear your stories. What it was like for you after you've had a child.
Up next, Phil, I want to ask you what men can do better to prepare and families in general as well. Tom, we're having a really interesting and insightful discussion about postnatal depression in men, and we're chatting to an expert in the field, clinical psychiatrist and research fellow, Dr. Philip Mosley. Phil?
Or just Dr. Phil.
It's just a bit slow, isn't it, that one, Tom?
Yeah, sorry.
Before we get to your calls on 133353, just quickly, I want to just say, Phil, you've got a huge list of achievements here. You've won grants, you've won early career fellowships, postgraduate medals from all kinds of places. You're, from what I can tell, quite young. I want to give you the chance to shed all ego and actually humility. Are you a really good, are you an amazing doctor? And you can just say, yeah, like I am.
I try my hardest. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
I always
humble. Yeah.
I always try and do my best.
What would the arrogant version of you say to that question, though?
Look, I think there is a distinction between, being a great researcher and being a great doctor. I try and sort of be the best of both. And I think I...
Well, you're killing it.
He's very modest.
I think I do all right.
You're killing it.
133353. Have you ever had experience with mood changes after having a child, especially in men? Rick, you reckon you've experienced this?
Yeah, morning, Tom and Ollie, Dr. Phil.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
And yes, I'm naked.
Okay, well, that's news for Dr. Phil, but...
Rick, what's your experience with this?
All right, I've got four kids. And went through, I suppose you could call it postnatal depression. But thankfully, both my wife and I were aware of it. And the only thing I was just explaining it to your sound guy, whoever
producer,
he is.
Producer, yeah.
Producer, sorry. It's a bit like when you come back from a holiday, you know, like it's a real blast and then there's this massive low, you know. You've got the pregnancy, the excitement, the attention, everyone's talking to you about it. It's picking names, it's when are you due, it's getting the nursery ready. And then the baby's born and the excitement of going to the hospital and actually having the baby. And then you get it home a couple of days later and it's nothing but crying and nappies.
The daily grind
and
starts.
Feeding and no sleep. And it's like, what are we doing, you know? But like I said, we're aware of it. Which helped us a lot, but I can, you know, the only thing I can suggest to other men going through it is if you're conscious of it, that's a big help, you know, and it's a normal thing.
And you've got to wait for that first birthday as well, Tom, which is a long wait to get that first birthday party.
Thank you so much for sharing, Rick.
Let's go to Sarah, who has an interesting situation. Sarah, what is your experience with postnatal depression?
I actually had it and was hospitalised for it.
Wow.
At about, I think, my son was about 4 months, 5 months old, and he's about a year and a half now. My husband, I believe, still has it. I don't know how he feels about it, but definitely mourning of the old life that we had.
Right. And Sarah, do you think it's this thing that there's definitely a lot of focus on the women post-birth, but the men are kind of left not necessarily being asked, mate, how are you going with everything? You know, it's all just...
Definitely, it's a combination of not being asked, but also, you know, he's providing for us while we're working, while we're off. Sorry, he's working. You know, he's also getting no sleep. Our social lives, we were both very social people before having our first child. We've only got one. And that's gone. Yeah.
So how do you broach that with him, this feeling you have about him?
We've had a lot of discussions, and he's definitely doing what he can to try and seek help. But I don't know that he would call it postnatal, but obviously going through what I have and being in hospital with many women who had it, I really know what I'm seeing, and I can definitely say a big part of his problems are because we've had a child and he's lost all his ability of freedom.
Well, Sarah, you're a strong woman for getting through that, because that must be a tough thing. Dr. Phil, what's the best thing to do in this situation?
Well, first, can I just say thanks to Rick and Sarah for phoning in and sharing their experiences so eloquently. I think they've provided really great insights into that both of their journeys. Look, in Sarah's position, it's sort of very difficult for me to comment specifically, but
totally.
I definitely can see that for some men, there is a sense that they are their role in the family is to provide and be the guy that brings in the money and sort of scaffolds the rest of the family, but that might at the same time shield them or prevent them psychologically from stepping into the space where they can say, actually, I'm actually not doing too well myself, and I need a bit of help here. So I think it's probably about, when you have that mindset, working with that to try and move some of those cognitive distortions, you might call them, to say, actually, it might actually be the better thing, the bigger thing, the braver thing, to step out and actually seek help so that I can be a better support to my family in this situation. Because if I'm not firing on all cylinders, then it's going to be difficult for my wife or my partner and the rest of the family system to function really well as well.
And you can only imagine that to do that, to admit that, would be a huge weight off your shoulders.
Absolutely.
It would be instantly like, okay, great, now on the path to getting help.
Your GPs, your great port of call. You can also head to beyondblue.org.au, and there's a great resource online called raisingchildren.net.au that, Dr. Phil, you've used yourself.
I said before, it's one I don't know what to do. I just go there and look it up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Phil. It was very insightful, and I think a lot of men will be going, oh, thank God somebody's talking about this.
Thanks, Phil.
My pleasure.
It's like Parliament Question Time with less name-calling.
You have a face in a kicked-in biscuit tin, Tom?
Oh, maybe not.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom, this show moves from serious to fun just like that, and we've moved on to one of our favourite games on a Thursday. It's this.
Tom and Ollie's How Triple M Are You?
It's a good old music challenge where you go head-to-head with Tom Bainbridge, the token hire himself across the desk from me here.
Hello.
Short blonde man, somewhat camp, not Grant Denyer.
Don't have a moustache anymore. Yes. I shaved it off tonight.
But go head-to-head with this guy. He's not that good, is what I would tell you.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to music, if you know the tunes we play pretty well, you've got a solid chance of beating this idiot right here.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going hard on you now, but I'm just trying to incite some emotion here. 133353. Can you beat Tom at How Triple M Are You?
Don't even call, because you're not a bigger Triple M fan than I am. I'm a bigger Triple M fan than you'll ever be.
Convincing.
By the way, the person who donates the most amount of money to my Movember account, I'm an official ambassador of Movember, then you'll be coming along to our interview party. It's now time to play a game.
Tom and Ollie's How Triple M Are You?
Yeah, it's very simple, Tom. On 133353, we've asked for a contender. It's a game of just guessing songs as fast as you can. Pretty simple. Best of five, generally. And classic rules apply. Your names are your buzzers, all that kind of stuff.
Ollie, you're behind the buttons tonight.
I am, Tom.
You are going to stuff everything up. You don't even know how to do turn the...
This is insane.
Oh, wow.
I can do all this stuff, Tom.
Wow,
it's so good.
Well done, mate.
It's a bloody wacky Thursday over here, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
No, come on, let's make this quick, mate.
Dave is on the line and ready to play you, Tom.
Oh, really? Hey, Dave.
Okay.
You put his fader up.
Dave, hi. How are you?
Good.
Just testing the buttons here. Dave, you pretty confident with the music we play?
Yeah, more classic stuff than the newer stuff.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm good with the newer stuff, so I suppose that's where we differ, Dave. How old are you, Dave?
36.
Ugh, God, old.
Wow. Yeah. This is insane.
Okay. Guys, names are buzzers. You got to guess the song title and artist.
Okay.
And Tom, if you lose this,
There
has to be an added challenge.
Yes.
And the challenge is, Your mo's been shaven off today.
It has, yes.
For the 1st of November. The challenge is...
The 1st of November, thank you.
The challenge is, if you lose, I will draw it back on. In black texter. All right, here we go.
Song number one.
Tom.
Dave.
It is first real 60, the summer of 69. It's the summer of 69, yeah. By...
What's her name? What's her name?
In the summer of Brian... I'm going to say Brian Adams. It's not him, though.
No, you just... Sorry, didn't quite sneak in there. You got it right, but you just...
What?
You just, the time ran out.
It was Brian Adams, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Brian Adams.
Yes! You're going down, Dave.
Come on, Dave. You're good at the old stuff, you said. That's a pretty old one.
So sorry. That was just a radio host yelling extremely loud at someone
much.
On the phone. Sorry, Dave. It's not good radio.
Pretty camp as well. All right,
shut
go.
Up, mate. So I'm not a diversity hire. If I have my Tom.
Dave.
Ha ha, Tom. That was me. If I have
and then how again. Was that you?
Yeah, it was close.
I'm gonna get me a gun, but
we're gonna do it again here.
Situations, mate. What are you doing? What are you doing? I said Tom.
Dave buzzed in there, I think.
What? Oh, it's Big Audio Dynamite Rush.
Yeah, see? There you go.
I was gonna say situation.
Yeah, you're gonna go nowhere. So that's one all in my head.
Yep. I've got score here, Ollie, because I know you're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. All right, song number three.
You know what it feels like. Tom.
Come on, Dave.
Oh, do I just jump in if I know it?
No. Three, don't stop two, believing.
One, yes.
By.
Three. Two,
don't one. Stop believing.
Journey.
Journey. Well done, Dave. 2-1 to Dave.
Well done, Dave. You pig. All right,
there we go. Song number four.
Thirsty piggy for prizes, aren't you?
Oh, it takes one to know one. I reckon you might know it, Dave.
Oh, I want to say it's Def Leppard.
Nah, not Def Leppard.
Nah, I don't know it.
No one knows it.
Nah.
Unskinny Bop.
What?
Unskinny Bop by Poison.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, that's not a... You don't look cool because you haven't heard of it. You look like an idiot because that's the whole point.
Tom. Ba-boom, bam. Main phone on, main Mississippi. It's Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Tom's countdown in the background. 3, 2, 1. Song title?
It is...
I can't remember the song title.
Dave, do you know the song title?
No, I want to say... No, I can't remember it.
It is the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Born in the state of Mississippi, called Mother Baby, and a mother baby. Yeah, no, no one.
What a shame. Danny California.
Danny California. California.
So it's still 2-1 to Dave.
Yeah, great.
This is the final song.
Okay.
Tom to tie it up and Dave to win.
Yep.
Hopefully this works.
Cool. Tom.
Dave.
Very close to call there, those two names then. Not sure. You can't just buzz in and not say anything, mate.
It's telling you forget about me. I'm trying to remember it's by.
Yes, it is, Dave.
Forget about me. Is it NXS?
No.
It's... Oh, who is it? Far out.
It's a simple answer, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh.
Come on, mate. Use your mind here. Simple answer.
God, some cheesy 80s band.
It's Simple Minds, mate. Well done. You won it, Dave. I mean, Tom, you lost already because it was 2-1.
You laugh, don't you, Dave? Yeah. Good on you, mate. It was best of five anyway. Oh, you played 6 songs. You're an idiot.
Thanks, guys.
If you've missed it, you've just missed Tom losing at How Triple M Are U, a game where he's meant to guess the songs correctly. And as punishment, Tom, which we always have for when you lose,
yes.
I've drawn a mustache to replace the one you just lost for November.
Great. If you want to see that, you can head to Instagram at Tom and Ollie with a Y.
Tom, if you're a fan of comedy in this country, you've probably heard of Heath Franklin, but you've almost definitely heard of the name Chopper and the comedy version of that man.
Absolutely.
Or is it the real thing? I don't know. But good evening to Chopper Reed.
Hey, g'day. How's it going?
Oh, Chopper, mate. You're speaking from the grave.
Yeah, you know, willpower's a strong thing.
Yeah?
You just got to want it bad enough. Everyone else just lay down and die.
can I say you look as good as Eric Banner in person.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, so yeah, well done. Now, you're back again with a tour, Bogan Jesus, the Resurrection Tour.
Yeah, that's it. Did it for a while. People liked it, so I'm bloody ripping the lid off and giving it a sniff. And just seeing what's happening, a bit of a victory lap.
Yeah, victory lap.
Yeah.
Are you a bit of a John Farnham? Had you retired as chopper and now you're back, or you never retired?
Oh, no, I never retired. I mean, you know, dying's one thing, but ta-da.
Ta-da, you're back. He's resurrected.
Oh, and you're going to all the regional towns as well, chopper.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we've got to some good places.
Do you have a pretty sexy tour bus, like the election buses? They've got those fancy rigged out things. What do you tour
Oh, you mean like Pauline Hanson's battler bus?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing says battler like having a face painted on the side of your bus, does it? Yeah, no, nothing like that. No. Just a buddy Tarago.
You're in Tarago?
Yeah, it's a Tarago that smells like last night's dinner.
What was last night's dinner?
Well, if I'm on tour, it's usually a petrol station scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not petrol, but...
Well, not petrol, no. Yeah. That's for dessert.
Maybe a chicken roll.
Yeah, you know, something that's been sitting around for a while and it's been gaining life experience.
Well, the artwork for your tour is very biblical. You've got the church LED lights and you're posing at the front. As a past man, are you a religious person yourself, Chopper?
Well, to be honest, no.
No.
But I can't let that get out because as someone who's decided to start my own religion, I've got to keep that under my hat a little bit, you know what I mean?
What's your religion?
It's just some ideas I had.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like any religion? Yeah.
Well, you know when you're watching someone open a door and they're not doing it right and it's not working, you're like, get out of the way, give me a go. It's like that, but with religion.
Yeah, a bit of a push-pull situation.
Yeah,
you've got to jiggle it. And is that as deep as your religion goes?
Oh, it's pretty deep. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to be one of these weird kind of, you know, all rules and doom and gloom kind of people.
Yeah.
There's some fun stuff in there.
So there's no rules in your religion?
Oh, there are.
Okay.
But it's not against, you know, stuff like buddy working on Sunday. It's against, you know, people who have leaf blowers. More practical stuff.
Good.
If it's relevant, you know?
Yeah. Now, Mr. Chopper, I want to know about your stance on the state of sketch comedy these days, because the Ronnie John's Half Hour was a big show for Tom and I, big fans of that show.
Absolutely.
Sketch comedy back in the day.
Love it.
It's been hanging around.
What do you think about sketch these days, Chopper? You still seeing enough of it?
I don't know. It's interesting. I think people need to start doing it differently.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just be like, this is a guy who works at a train station, and when he comes home, he still acts like it's a train station. You've got to evolve a bit. It's got to get weird.
What are you liking on TV these days?
There's lots of stuff out there. I'm a big Rick and Morty fan.
Yeah, I like that too.
You gotten into this season of The Bachelorette, or...?
Oh, shoot me in the face.
Do it yourself, probably.
No, that's it. Not into it. You know what I mean? If you want to go and see a bunch of skanks fighting over someone, just go out on a Friday. It's...
Wow. Triple M sounds effectively too well there, Tom. Fair enough. Any more TV you're loving, or that's about it?
That's about it at the moment. You know what I mean? I've started hate watching some kids on YouTube. There are these kids out there, and what they do is they film themselves playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And they just talk like they've been mildly poisoned.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. I'm hitting it with a hammer. That witch isn't usually there, but now there's a witch here. And these kids are probably richer than I am. So, you know.
And, Chopper, how's your mate Heath Franklin, who keeps following you around?
Oh, he's all right. He's a bit boring, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, he keeps making bad health decisions that affect me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my little blue shirts are getting too small.
Next size up. What are you wearing these days? Is that rude to ask?
Double XL.
Yeah, that's okay.
I need a run-up to get into it, though.
Well, butter and
a shoehorn.
Good stuff.
Well, tickets for Chopper's Bogan Jesus, the Resurrection Tour are on sale now. You can hit laughingstock.com.au for more information. Chopper Reid, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.